On a series called The Will of God for My Life, which I'm ready to get in and get further in. We hadn't got much past the introduction, but last week where we left off with an odd and unusual tool. We were talking about this tool right here, and we mentioned that last week if you aren't a guy that works with construction or around that kind of, you probably don't know what these are. I've used this tool many, many times in Jennifer's presence. But when I asked her last week, Jen, you know what this is? She took it and she looked all over it and touched all over it. She's like, it's some kind of a knife, I guess. And she's seen me use this tool in front of her. And the thing about it is, the reason she didn't understand what this tool was because she's never had to use it herself. And the thing about a tool is, if you've never used one or been shown how to use the tool or use it for what it was created for, then what's happened is most of the time you will have abused or you will have broken that tool. If you don't know what it was designed for, if you don't know how to use it or function it, then every time a tool will get abused. That's what happens a lot of times when people come to the Lord, is they give their heart to the Lord and they don't understand that they were designed and created for a specific purpose. And so what happens usually with their heart's desire and their longing to go forward in what God has for them, they end up usually being used and abused because really they didn't know what their purpose was. So we're on this search here for what is the purpose? Why am I here for? What is my destiny? What is my calling? And we're starting this process to go forward. Like I say, the best way to figure out what a tool is used for is, number one, you could know the inventor and he could describe it to you in detail because it was a creation of his hands. Or you can read the owner's manual. And the same thing works with our own lives. What do we do with our lives? What are we here for? What did God create it for? Number one, more than a tool. You are more than a tool for God. But at the same point, the Creator knows what He created you for, and He gave us a manual on knowing how to use what He's put in you to be used for. So we've started that process, and we're going to jump right in. We answered last week the first question of, why am I alive, which is the question of existence. You are alive because God wanted to love you. And that is a powerful statement within itself. God wanted to love you. And He wanted to love you so much. I got to hug his neck too. I've been missing him. I got to talk to him on the phone. Hey, I've been gone. I ain't got to see you. So it's good to see you. So what am I alive? Why am I alive? Well, that's the question of existence. And is there an answer to your existence? Absolutely, yes. You are alive because God had a plan for you and He had a desire and He wanted to love you. The Bible says we were made to be loved by Him. So we answered that question. The next question we asked was, well, does my life even matter? If God just wanted to love me, does my life even matter? Is there any real significance to me? Or does He just love everybody? And the question is this. The answer is this. Yes. God, your life does matter. You're not one in a million. You're not one ant in an anthill. You are specifically, the Bible says, designed and planned before you were ever born. He said He knew who your mother was, and He formed you in her womb. So there was specific purposes and reasons you're here. And then we answered the last question that says, is there a purpose to my life? Which is, the answer to that is, yes, you have intent. You weren't random. You weren't just a big bang or a passing thought. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says that it says that I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. In other words, specific plans, intent. He meant for you to be here. There was a mission that He needed accomplished, and He put you here to accomplish it. So with those three things, we're going to jump right into a foundational point of this. Every one of us were created for a reason. You're here on purpose, and there is intent and significance in your life. So our quest is this: how do I find that? How do I get there? Well, it's going to take three things for you to be able to find it, get it, and then accomplish it. And the first three things is, first, it takes desire. You got to want it. No one accidentally falls into success. No one accidentally, just becomes what they've always knew they should have been by accident. You have to desire it. And so we'll be breaking down desire on another night. Another one is effort. It's going to first take desire. You got to want to do what God put you here to do. He's a perfect gentleman. He's not going to force you to do anything you don't want to do. He's not going to make you. I mean, a lot of people are like, well, I'm just waiting on God to do what he put me here. No, you got to want it. And if you want something, then you're willing to get up and do something about it, which takes effort. And so for you to accomplish what you were put here to do, and for you to be, on another hand, completely fulfilled, you got to understand, you will never be completely fulfilled in life and satisfied in life until you accomplish what God has called you to. Just like we talked about the rich young ruler for the last couple of weeks. He was rich, he was successful, and he had come to a high position in life. But he said, God, there's got to be something more to my life than this. There are thousands and thousands, millions of successful people on this planet that are still unfulfilled and unhappy because they weren't created to be successful. You weren't created to be rich, although God don't mind you being those things, but you were created for a purpose and a destiny, and you're not going to be fulfilled until that comes about. There's a difference in surviving, and there's a difference in being significant. And if all you want to do is survive, you just keep going to work day after day and getting that check just to pay the bills or you can be significant. You can be here for what God's created you to be here for. And the Bible says everything else will come into your life. He said it like this, seek ye first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? A lot of people think in their mind, well, if I just seek God first, and that's sort of the right answer, but it says the kingdom of God. And so what is the kingdom of God? What a kingdom is God's way of doing things. In other words, a kingdom is a certain area or a geographical location that one person has the right or the rule to do it his way in that realm. So the kingdom of God is God's arena. And when you, and that's where he's in control and is his desires are met and his rules go forth. When you live in the kingdom of God, you do it God's way. Then what happens is everything else in life will be drawn to you. Well, that's why it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It says, seek ye first God's way of doing it. And then everything else will come together in life. You will be fulfilled. You will be successful. You will be what God's called you to be if you will understand that God's way of doing it is what's going to fulfill you. So first, you got to want God's way. Next, you got to go after God's way. It's going to take desire. Then it's going to take effort. And a lot of people don't know how to put effort into finding God's way or doing it God's way. But we're talking about that in this. And then thirdly, it's going to take surrender. And another way to say that word surrender is sacrifice. The word sacrifice is a lot tougher to hear than surrender. But I'll tell it to you like this. Jesus said this. He says, not my will be done, but thine. So if you're really going to fulfill the call of God in your life, you got to understand there's going to come a place where you're going to come to in life that you're going to have to decide, God, not my will, but your will. Which brings us to the question. Is the will of God the calling of God for your life? Well, first of all, what you've got to understand is this. Every single person in here has a calling of God on their life. You are called. You were created, like we're talking about, on purpose with significance. And the significance of your life comes down to this. It's considered, or in a spiritual term, is your calling. A way I like to understand it, because I'm a daydreamer, is it's my destiny. I have a destiny attached to my life. You have a destiny attached to your life. In other words, that greatest dream of your future, that when you close your eyes or you lay in bed or when you think about what you want the future to be like, that dream out there, that is connected to your destiny. It was God given to you. The Bible says, I give you the desires of your heart. So he gave us the desires. So them dreams and those plans and those goals you have, they are given from God and they're connected to your calling. But a lot of people think the calling and the will of God are the same, but they're different. Joe, this ain't in your notes, but go to, if you don't mind bringing on the screen, 1 Corinthians 1:1. What is the difference between a calling and a will? In other words, the will of God for your life and the calling of God for your life. They're two totally different things, because the calling of God is what God wants you to be. But the will of God is how you get there. And it says like this, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. All right, so there's the calling. In other words, he's called. His destiny was to be an apostle. His destiny was to be the pastor of pastors and leader of leaders. His destiny was to pen the New Testament church. His destiny was to write 2/3 of the New Testament. His destiny was to lead people to Christ. But he did not just become that. You never just become what your calling is, what your destiny is. You don't just wake up one day, or you don't sit on the pew long enough to eventually become what God's put you here to become. You've got to understand, it takes something more than just having a calling. Because, see, you may be called to be the greatest husband in the world, but if you don't ever get married, you won't ever be a husband. Or you may be called to be the greatest mother, but if you don't have a child, you don't. There's your calling is what God knows your potential can be. But the truth of the matter is, most people don't make it through life and accomplish their calling because they keep waiting on God to do this. The Bible says here, Paul said, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. In other words, he was able to accomplish his calling by doing the will. And this is very important before we take this next step in what God's called you to do. He was able to become what he was supposed to be. He was able to get fulfilled in life the way he was supposed to be fulfilled because he was willing to do the will of God. It's like this. If you're standing here tonight on the floor and God is calling you to be a stage stander, he wants you to be up on a platform. He wants you to be up on a pulpit. He wants you to be up in front of people. But here you are on the ground. As long as you're willing to stay here on the ground, you will never become, you'll never get to the stage. As long as I choose to stand here, I'm telling you, I'm not going to magically or spectacularly or transport myself from here to here. Unless I'm willing to take the steps. One, it takes desire. Two, it takes effort. And then it takes sacrifice. I've got to be willing to put out energy to get there. I'm willing to take the steps to get there. I'm here to tell you, God, it is not God's will for you to be here. That's where you are right now. Wherever you are tonight, God's will is not for you to stay there. You say, well, I'm in a good place. I understand that, but God wants more. That's why he said you are more than a conqueror. You may already be a conqueror, but he wants you to be more than your conqueror, or he would not give you another day tomorrow. If you have accomplished it, Paul said this, I have fought the good fight. I have run the good race. He knew he had come to the end of his life. Why? Because he had been called. He had become an apostle, which he had been called. But how did he become that apostle? He became that apostle by doing the will. So what the will of God is, the will of God is stair steps. Every time you take a step in the will of God, you become closer to becoming the calling of God. In other words, every time I do what God wants me to do, I'm that much closer to being what God's called. Same works the other way. Every time I don't do what God has called, what God's will for my life is, it takes me further from my calling. But the thing about it is, at any point, you can start taking the steps back. See, all right, look at it as the prodigal son. The prodigal son, the father's plan for him was to inherit half of the household. The plan for him was for him to rule and do what God, what the father, you know, had laid out and planned for, had him there for. But what took place was this. The son said, I'm going to do it my way. So he took what God had given him and walked out the door. And every step he took away from the will of the father, the less of a son he became in his mind. In his mind. Because the Bible says when he found himself in the pig pen, he said, you know what? I'm not even worthy to be a son anymore. I'll go back and be a servant. He truly thought when I get back to the father's house, even though he turned around and started walking back, he thought when I get there, the call of God in my life is over. I want you to know something. No matter how far you've walked away from the call of God on your life, the call of God for your life is not over. He's still calling you what he created you to do. And say, we talked about this last week. Every single mess up you've made did not catch him off surprise. He was not stunned or shocked by the mistakes you've made. Because the Bible says he knew your end before your beginning. That means he knew. Now, did he sanction them? No, he didn't cause them. He didn't want them. He didn't even enjoy you going through them. But it didn't change. He knew they were going to happen. You didn't catch him off surprise. He was not shocked or disappointed. He knew that he had created you for this purpose. He had called you to be a son of God. And so you may have walked away, but I'm telling you, at any point when you turn around and start walking back, you are not a servant, you're a son. And before you get back to where you started from or before you get to where you're supposed to be, he will have already taken the servant mentality off you and put a robe and a ring and killed the fatted calf for you. You will not miss the calling of God if you're willing to live the will of God. So the will of God is like steps. So what are the steps? Well, the first step, you know, is this. And sometimes when it comes to the will of God over your life, a step forward feels like a step backwards. And you just got to understand that. God's way of doing things is not our way of doing things. Seems like, you know, when you're doing what the will of God's called you to do, there's been times where when you take a step, you think, man, that was a step backwards. But if it's the will of God and you know it's the will of God, you can't look at whether it looks forward or backwards. You have to know it's the will of God. And every step toward the will of God in your life, every time you take a step and do God's will in any area of your life, it's drawing you closer to the calling. That's why Paul said, you know, I am called an apostle through the will of God. So that brings us to this question. What is the will of God? So we're going to start with the foundational tonight, because the foundational will of God for each one of our lives starts off the same. But as we get going into it, they all become different. So we're going to start on the... But if you don't start with the right foundation, then what happens is you could build the whole building and then it takes years or thousands... When you're a builder, that's the way my mind always goes with building foundations. When you're a builder, if you don't take the right amount of time on the foundation, then when you get the structure built, you'll spend twice as much money trying to fix those foundational issues. You're going to spend twice as much time, twice as much heartache. So we're going to start with five foundationals tonight that are a must. They are an absolute must. And so we'll jump right into them, and I call them the five foundational steps toward the calling of God. In other words, five steps in his will for you to become your calling. And the first one is this. It's found in Ephesians 1:11, and it's out of the Message Bible. It says, it is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everyone and for everything. Another scripture says this, Colossians 1:16 says, everything, absolutely everything, got started in him and finds its purpose in him. So with the process of what am I here for? What am I living for? Why am I alive for? You understand your purpose. Joe don't have the Message Bible. I'm reading out the Message Bible. The Bible says your purpose is found in him. And as you do his will, you will find your calling or your destiny through him. So number one is this. What is the purpose of my life? What is the foundation step that I need to take? The first step you have to take is you've got to come to an understanding and come to the belief system that you were created for his pleasure. You say, Craig, that's not really a step. It's a big step. It's really a big step. Because people that don't get this step down, what happens is they spend their whole life trying to build the foundation or build the building elsewhere, and it keeps crumbling to the ground because they do not understand this principle. This principle says this. In Revelation 4:11 in the New Living Translation says, God created everything. And it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created. So the first step is you coming to the place, no matter what your insecurities are, no matter what failures you've made, no matter what lot in life you live, you have to come to the understanding and the belief system that God, you bring God pleasure. Your whole existence and every reason you were put here is for God's pleasure. And you got to understand it like this. You say, well, how can that be? How everything about you, every reason he created you and everything he formed you, he did it because he wanted and longs to love you. In Psalms 149 says this, the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Another scripture says this. It says, Ephesians 1:4 says, long before he laid down the foundations of the earth, God had us in mind, and he settled on us as the focus of his love. What does it mean that you are God's pleasure? You got to take it into consideration for those that are parents understand this, or those that are grandparents understand this. Me and Jennifer did not have two children for them to do anything for us. We, as a matter of fact, we'd been married 4 years. We'd you know, been all over the country. We were living in Florida, had a great life, lived at a great place. We were enjoying our lives, felt like we were being set. But there was like something missing. And it rung in Jennifer's heart way before it rung in mine. So women really understand. They call it your time clock, where all of a sudden some women wake up and they just want to have children. And Jennifer had started having it. She started telling me about it. And I was like, I never even thought about having children. But, you know, great. I could see how it could add a bonus to my life. But when we planned to have these children, we moved our whole lives in order to have these children. And when we had the first one, everything changed. See, God had everything in order, the Bible says, within 6 days, the way he wanted it in order. But it says, on the sixth day, he created you and he created me. He created the human race. Why did he do that? Why? Because the same need that me and Jennifer had to have children, we did not have our children so they could grow up and clean our house, because the truth of the matter is, since we've had them, they've not cleaned our house at all. We have spent the last 8 years cleaning up after them. As a matter of fact, since we've had them, we did not have them so they could grow up one day and support us. We did not have them so that they could one day turn around and, you know what I'm saying, we didn't have them so we could have them take care of us or buy us a house or buy us a car. And the truth is this, God did not create you for you to do anything for him. See, and a lot of times we get messed up on why am I here and what is my day? Because we think, I got to do something for God. The first and foremost foundational principle that you got to understand is God loves you. And God wanted you not so you could do anything for him. He wanted you because the Bible says he wanted an affection, someone that he could put his love on. And see, when he did that, he created man, he created you, and he did it on purpose. I'm telling you, I could not love any more, I can't love another human being as much as I love our two children. I love Jennifer, I love our two children, and I got to be honest, there's nothing those kids can do that make me quit loving them. Now, may I be displeased with them? May I get frustrated with them? Yeah, but there's nothing those two girls could do to make me quit loving them. And see, there's nothing you can do to make God quit loving you. You were created for his pleasure, not to make him pleasure. Just you existing brings God pleasure. And that's why he created you. And so it doesn't matter what mistakes you made. You know, it's like this. Pastor Jason was telling me right before service something Haley did. If you know our two children, they're two totally different ones. Alexis is just a sweetheart. I mean, it's just her nature to be a sweetheart. She cares about people. She's very heartfelt. If she sees somebody with their feelings hurt, she cares. Now, Haley's a totally different bird. Haley is a clown all the time. And Haley will smart off in a minute, not in a, like I say, because I know her, I understand, and I'm her daddy, she don't smart off in a disrespectful way, but a lot of times it comes out disrespectful. But like Pastor Jason told me, he said, Haley is so funny. He said, I was in there in the youth room, and they were fine. He said, she goes, what are you doing, Pastor Jason? He said, I'm looking for a cord. And he opened the door and he goes, oh, here it is, and picked it up. And she goes, that was easy, you big baby. You know what I'm saying? Now, I had to get on to her, but I got to be honest with you. That was funny to me. You know what I'm saying? And so even though she made this mistake and was disrespectful and I had to get on to her like it didn't, I got to be honest with you. I was sitting there thinking, that's funny. That kid's smart, little mouth. But see, how many times do you think God looks at us? And he created you for his pleasure. He created you because you would mean something to him. And he would not have that in his life unless he created you. And when he created you, even though I look back at my life and think, how many times did God go, I just can't believe he made that same exact mistake again. You know, and it not be a condescending thing, same thing, but yet I have to get it right. But it brought him pleasure. Everything about your life has brought you him pleasure. And so going forward, you've got to know this. The first step in your life to getting close, you got to know you were created for his pleasure. The thing about it is this, it says that he created you in his image. And so the Bible says God is love. All right. So if God is love, and God, the Bible says, wanted someone, it says he created us to be an object of his love. In other words, he wanted to make his whole existence about putting something, you know, giving something and loving you. Bible says he made us in his same image. We are different than any other animal in the world. Because animals on the planet, they can receive love, but see, they were not made in God's image. And they can't give love. You say, well, you know, my dog loves me. No, your dog would love me if I had to raise that dog. You've trained your dog. Animals don't have the ability. Now, they have the natures and they have the attitudes, but they don't have the ability to love. Why? Because they were not made in God's image. You were made in God's image, and the Bible says God is love. So this is, with God creating you for his pleasure, you have to understand, you have the same potential in you to give God pleasure as he has to give you pleasure, because you were made in his image. So this is what I mean by this being the first step. The first step is, you were created for his pleasure, and you were created to bring pleasure to him, and him be your pleasure. So what is the first step in my life? This is what Jesus, a guy came up to Jesus and said, he said, hey, you know, you've got all these rules and you've got all these ways of doing things. The Bible says it like this. You set it as commandments. You've got all these commandments, Jesus, but which one is the greatest? And this is what he said. He said, this is the greatest commandment of them all. In other words, this is above all else. This should be the first one. You start right here. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. So to be in the will of God, that is the first step you're to take. Once you receive salvation, it doesn't matter you do anything else. Nothing else matters if you can't let God love you for who you are and you love God as much as you can. It doesn't matter how many deals you've made today. Doesn't matter how many boards you've built with today. It doesn't matter how many cars you fixed or how many people you worked on or how many letters you typed. No accomplishment today matters more than, did you allow God to love you, and did you love God more today than you did yesterday? The first step in your life has to be this. If you're going to accomplish the calling of, see, a lot of people, Bible says that, we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And a lot of people can't even get past not loving themselves because of the mistakes or their image. Your image problems will be solved when you come to the understanding and the belief that God loves you more than you could ever be imagined being loved. And you bring him pleasure exactly the way you are, the way you were created. And what you can do in return is that is love him back. That is the first step in this. So let me tell you this. A lot of people say, well, God, how do I accomplish the will of God for my life? Starts right here. Every day you sit on your bed at the end of the day and you say this, I know you a little bit more today than I did yesterday, because that is letting God love you. The more you learn about God, the more you understand how his love is, because the more you get to know God, the more love he's allowed to put on you. And so every day you end your day and you sit down on that bed and you say, God, I know a little bit more about you today. And God, I love you a little bit more today than I did yesterday. Then you have accomplished the will of God for your life. Problem is, a lot of us never do that. A lot of us get to the end of the day and we start asking God to help us do something for tomorrow. And we haven't taken 5 minutes in that day to find out a little bit more about him. You've not taken 5 minutes to read a scripture. You've not taken 5 minutes to talk to him, or you've not taken 5 minutes he's not demanding. Your day will be a success if you can find out every sin. See, the Bible says this is the day that the Lord hath made. Every day was created for a purpose in a day. And every day that goes by, if you want to be in the will of God, you'll learn just a little bit more about him. And you will know how to love him a little bit more. And what will happen is every day you do that, you can go to bed and lay your head on the pillow. You say, well, Cricket, I blew it. It don't matter how many times you blow it. Is if every day you learn a little bit more of him, you get to know him a little better, and you love him a little more. Because what will happen is you may be taking baby steps. But every day you take that one step, eventually what's going to happen is you'll look back and you won't be blowing it every day because you knew him a little bit more. And the more you knew him, the more you loved him. Eventually those things. So that's step one. in the foundation of being able to accomplish something for God. The will of God for your life, number one, is to know Him a little bit more. Why is daily devotion so important? Because you have to make it an effort to want to know Him a little bit more. And if you can't do that, you can't even start the will of God for your life. You have to know Him a little bit more. And you only get to know God by spending time with God. And it can be on your drive to work. It can be in your shower. But you've got to know Him a little bit more tomorrow than you knew Him today. And you've got to love Him a little bit more. Then the next step is this. The first step is it brings Him pleasure. You bring Him pleasure. And when you want to do the will of God for your life, you want to get your life to a point where you're bringing Him pleasure. And the way you bring Him pleasure is you get to know about Him a little bit more. You get to know Him a little bit more. And you love Him a little more every day. Next step, second purpose is this. God formed you to be a part of a family. You were formed to be a part of a family. The Bible says, I knew you in your mother's womb, and I formed you before you were ever born. The way He chose to release you into this world is a picture of the way He wants you to go out of this world. And it's like that you started in a family. Nobody in here was born unless there was a process of a family. You came in through a family, and God's expectancy for you is to go out with a family. You were not created only for these 80 years that we will live on this earth. You were created for eternity. So what He wants us to do is wants us to learn how to live in eternity. And the way you're going to live in eternity is you're going to live as part of a family. Now, see, the thing about the earth here is you get to choose. You didn't get to choose your family. God chose it for you because He knew that your mom and your dad would have the right DNA and in the right mix to put in you what you needed to be a part of His family. And so you might have been born through a deadbeat dad or an absent mom or something like that, but God didn't act. He born you not to be a part of that family. Ultimately, He bore you through that family so that you would be have an opportunity to be a part of His family. So you didn't get to choose the earthly family, but you do get to choose your heavenly family. And when you understand that you were born and your second goal and your second step in the will of God is this, to take your place in the family. It says it like this. It says, Ephesians 1:5 in the NLT says, God's unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by bringing us unto Himself through Jesus Christ. So when you were saved, you became a part of it. You were adopted into His family. Didn't matter what family you were born into. When you were saved, you were adopted into His. And that's what they call it, being born again. You get another chance at the whole thing. Thing about it is, just like your earthly family, not all families are perfect. Not any family is perfect. Not any family is perfect. And even, I'm going to tell you this, your spiritual family is not perfect. But because we grow up in imperfect families, when we come into a spiritual family, we think it's supposed to be perfect. And you find out that it's not, you want to jump out of the family. Truth of the matter is this, or you want to be left alone and do it on your own. The Bible says it's not good for a man to be alone. That was the first thing He said about Adam. It's not good for a man to be alone. So when He realized what He had created was not good for him to be alone, next thing He did was He created a family for him to exist and coincide in. He created His wife, and there became a family union, and it became a miracle, and there it went from that point on. And so you were created to be a part of a family, and the family you're supposed to be a part of is your spiritual family. It says it this. It says 1 Peter 1:3, it says, God has given us the privilege to be born again so that we are now a member of God's own family. So the first step is, you got to understand you bring pleasure to God, and you are successful in the will of God in your life. If every day you know Him a little more and you love Him a little more. The second step is this, when you take your place in His family. Well, you say, Craig, you know, how do I do that? Well, let's talk about it for a minute. It says this. It says the Bible says the family is the church of the living God. It's the support and the foundations of the truth. That's 1 Timothy 3:15. It says the family is the church of the living God. And so the church is where you find your will of God. See, now a lot of people got the wrong concept of what the church is. A lot of people think a church is an organization. Some people think the church is a business. Some people think it's a bureaucrat. Some people think it's an institution. Some people think churches are all... Let me tell you, in the bottom line, what a church is. It is a family. And just like there are no perfect families, there are no perfect churches. But this church is the family of God. And just like your family right now, there are probably members in your family, that in your physical family, that you don't look forward to seeing at all, don't want to be around, you dread to know when they're coming on holiday. I'm saying, you sure you feel that way about the church too? But the thing about it is this. You are called to be a part. And for you to faithfully complete what God has put you here for, you got to understand, God is very concerned about you and relationships. A lot of people think, well, I just like to live for God out in nature. I don't like to come to here. I like to. Well, that's true. You can probably find God in nature or fishing, but you're going to do it alone. And God says it's not good for a man to be alone. His will for your life is for you to be a part of a family and to be in church. And when you're in church, what happens is you say, well, I don't get anything out of church. Well, you know what? Church gets something out of you, because by you being a part of the family, there you are doing what God's called you to do. And as you do what God's called, the will of God, you're taking that step up. You say, well, Craig, what is it being about it? In here, God is training you to build relationships with people you may not like. Why is that so important? The reason why that is so important is for this reason. You're going to be in eternity with these people in this church, and you may not like them. You know, the best way to ruin somebody's heaven is put something in there they don't like. And see, God's saying this, I'm trying to get you ready for eternity. I'm trying to get you ready to do what I create. He did not create you just to live on this earth. You will only be here about 80 years. And if you make it to those end, you think, wow, that's a long life. No, that is a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. I mean, it's not even 80 years is like 8 seconds when you're comparing it to eternity. So this is just nothing. And the thing about it is, if you don't like the people in here now, how much are you going to hate those people when you get there and you got to spend forever with them? And the truth is, God's wanting to get you ready for what you were created to do. And the first thing you're created to do is to know him and to love him, because he's going to spend eternity loving you and knowing you. So every day you get up doing that. The next thing is you become a part of this family. And by the way you become a part of the family is you begin to build relationships in it. You say, okay, what the Bible says in 1 Timothy or in 1 Peter 2:17, it says, love your spiritual family, is what it says in the Message Bible. Love your spiritual family. What does that mean? Love my spiritual family. You say, you know, but you, God put you, and the will of God for you is to be in a family. That means you have to learn to love people that is not easy for you to love. Because the truth of the matter is, you've not always made it easy for God to love you. I've not always made it easy for God to love me, but he didn't give up. And the thing about it is, for you to accomplish the destiny of God for your life, you've got to take the step in the will to make it to your calling, and that's to be a part of a church and a part of being a family. And what you do in that church is you learn to love everybody. And if you can't come to church and love people that maybe have a different colored skin, if you can't come to church and love somebody that maybe doesn't make as much money as you, or if you can't come to church and love somebody that maybe has come from a different class or a different part of the country or a different culture than you are, then the truth of the matter is God's put you in this church for you to learn. And now you're not going to go to the next step until you get this one. You say, well, I just want to skip this step and get to my calling. No, there is that. You've got to get the foundation right. He don't let us skip. You don't get to go to first grade and skip second grade unless you know how to do everything in second grade when you got there. And the truth of the matter is, you don't love everybody in here. And until you get that down, you don't go to the next grade. And so you are here, and you're a part of this family. And so what do? You dig your feet in and say, you know what? I'm going to love every single person in this church. It's the will of God. He tells me to love my spiritual family. And I got to admit, every family's got weird members. They do. There's family members. You don't look forward to God. There are times where, you know what I'm saying, one of my sisters to get on my last nerve. But you know what God's doing? God is using them to sand off my rough edges. And God is using them to work through, to work you, because God is using them to help you get from here to there. And he's using his family to do it. So you got to be willing to get into the family. Our time is coming to an end, but we got five more. Let me go one more. We're done. Number three is, the next thing God did was created you to learn to be like Christ. The first step is every day. If you want to do what God's called you to in the foundational step, he's going to first call you to love him, know him more a little bit every day. Love him more a little bit every day. The next step is for you to become part of the family. That means you love every single person in the body of Christ. And until you get that down, I'm telling you, you're being held back. You're not going to accomplish what God has called you to accomplish. And then number three is this. You got to learn to be more like Christ. You just got to learn to be more like Christ. That's the next step. Because the truth of the matter is, until you learn to be more like Christ. Now, are we ever going to be exactly like Christ? Not till we get to heaven. But every day, if you decide, I'm going to be more like Christ today than I was yesterday, that's a step closer to your calling. You're not going to make it to it. We're going to talk about in a couple Wednesdays what your individual mission is. But if you can't get this, I want to tell you, you can't handle your mission. Your exact specific, you can't handle it till you learn to be more like Christ. What is it called in layman's terms? You got to spiritually grow up. Because the truth of the matter is, you can grow up physically, and you can be somewhere for a long time, but you can still be very immature. The thing about it is, God did not call you to do what he's put you on this planet to do immaturely. It's going to take spiritual growth for you to be mature so you can handle what God's called you. And the truth of the matter is, every one of us need to grow up spiritually in some area. He said, the Bible says, he will faithfully complete the work that he has started in each one of us. Grow up. Now, the thing about it is, a lot of us have not even made the choice. We have the desire to grow up, but we haven't made the effort to do it. Because the Bible says this, when I was a child, I thought as a child, and I spake as a child. But when I became a man, there had to be some effort and some decisions I made. I may have still felt like a kid when it came to this situation. I may still have thought like a kid when it came to this situation. But I made the conscious effort and decision, and I put away, the Bible says, childish things. A lot of us have not reached our destiny or calling in this life because we cannot grow up spiritually. We'd rather stay mad, stay upset, stay bothered. We'd rather keep gossiping, keep complaining. We'd rather do all these things that babies do. And do you know one of the fewer signs of a spiritual immature person is when it's all about them? A baby doesn't know how to do anything but make everything about them. When you have a newborn baby, that baby will wake everybody in the household up at night the minute it gets hungry. That baby will scream and holler to the top of its lungs as soon as it needs somebody to clean up its mess. I tell you, spiritual babies make it all about them. And until we come to the understanding that the next step we have to do, you may not have a problem loving everybody in here. You may not have a problem loving God more, but you may come to a place where you're saying, you know what, there ought to be something in this for me. You need to grow up, and you're going to be stuck here until you make that next step. The next step in your spiritual walk, if you're there, is learn to grow up. You've got to grow spiritually. And we'll give you the last two. We'll go close. I just tell them to you. Number four is God's will for your life is for you to serve him somewhere, somehow. You were created for service. So how do I serve God? We hear that expression all the time. How do I serve God? How do I serve God? You know, you're supposed to serve the Lord. You're supposed to serve the Lord. Well, number one, you're supposed to do it with gladness, the Bible says. Should be in a good mood about it. Should be a joy to you. And then number two, you do it by doing it for somebody else. I serve God by serving CC. Because the Bible says, if a man needs a coat, give him one. If a man needs a drink, give him one. So why? Because when you did it to them, you did it to me. And if you can't find an area to serve in, then what's happening is you're missing the next step to your calling. And number five, we'll have to revisit it. You were made for a mission. Everything in this galaxy and everything in this solar system has aligned to such a point for your life to be such an impacting, significant moment that it will change destiny of history forever. That's why you're here tonight and you weren't here. You're 10 years ago or 1,000 years ago, or you were born at this, because what you have within you, the destiny and impact to change the course of history. And you say, well, how can that be? What do you think the guy that was standing on the side of the road when Jesus was dragging that cross, had he not have been right there, right then, when Jesus dropped that cross, would Jesus have gotten the cross on up the hill to die for me to be saved? That one moment in time, that man, if he weren't born for any other time, he was born for that moment so that me and you could accept Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior. Your life has a moment in it that will change the course of history for the entire human race at some level. And layman and secular term, they call it a butterfly effect. One action in your life will change the course of the destiny of eternity in someone else's. And God put you here for that reason. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to hit, how do you find that exact moment that will change eternity for lives around you? And I want to tell you this, it was not meant for one. Your moment in your life was meant for thousands. And we're going to be going after that. But these are the first five steps. Is you got to, number one, get up tomorrow and know that you have an opportunity to know God a little bit more. And you've got an opportunity to love Him. And if you'll do that, you succeed. Number two, you got to know that you belong in this family. This family greatly needs you. And you greatly need this family. No one became successful on their own. No one accomplished any great feat on their own. And you will not accomplish your destiny without the family God puts you in. And that's the house of God. Number three is every single person in here has to understand that you've got to grow up a little bit more tomorrow. You got to act like Jesus a little bit better. You say, well, I don't know how to, Cricket. Then you got to read the Own Your Manual and learn how to use this thing God's given you, this thing called life. You got to grow up spiritually. Every day, do something a little better. Do something a little better. Maybe you cuss 10 times today. Tomorrow you get up and decide, I'm only going to cuss 9 today. I'm not going to be like that. You know, get a little bit better every day. Grow up a little bit more every day. And then fourthly, you decide, I'm going to let God use me today by me doing something for somebody. I'm going to love somebody. I'm going to serve. Because the Bible says to be greatest in God's kingdom, you become the servant of the most. So when you decide that, you know what, how do I serve God? I can help somebody at the parking lot at Walmart. I can help somebody in the grocery store. I can help somebody at work. I can. You do something for somebody else and do it before God. Don't do it just to be a good neighbor or a Cub Scout. Do it for God. And God uses that for your destiny. And then number four, if you understand that every moment that clicks by on that clock, there is a destiny moment for you. And if you keep your eyes out for it, God will be clear for you to recognize it. We'll be going to that. Father God, I thank you for putting each one of these destinies in here. Each one of these destinies in here. And I thank you, Father God, as we take these steps in your will, before we even know it, we're going to be fulfilling our calling. I thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the honor. In Jesus' name.